Hello, fellow dweebs, dorks, and dungeoneers. Welcome to Hey Stupid, Good Party, a collaborative storytelling RPG brought to you by three improvisers who will let the dice decide their fates. I am your dungeon master, Kyle McCleavy, here with my friends and heroes,
Carlos Olmedo
and
Jason Snyder.
On our previous episode, we were introduced to Carlos's character, Santiago de Morón. Let's recap what happened on our last episode. Santiago is exiled from his homeland in humiliating fashion and set adrift at sea. On the brink of death, he's discovered and taken aboard a ship commanded by Ronan and Cormac Waller. The Wallers take Santiago as their prisoner in hopes he can direct them to a mysterious island. While chained up below deck, Santiago discovers a mangy goblin named Heine hidden amongst the cargo. Santiago befriends the strange creature, and together they commandeer a jolly boat to escape the Waller ship. They are once again stranded at sea. Just when all hope appears lost, their salvation suddenly appears on the misty horizon. They have discovered the island of Bluffhaven. And now we will take up our story with Jason's character introduction. We welcome you into our realm. On an island once forgotten, or perhaps never known, thrived peculiar little beings with peculiar dispositions. They scurried across the land of Bluffhaven, a hilly rolling landscape with an abundance of steep, jagged cliffs that look as if the other side... Let's redo that. Yeah. A hilly rolling landscape with... Fuck you. I'm going to start over.
Don't say it like that. Don't
Sorry, Kyle. Go ahead. Kyle.
On an island once forgotten, or perhaps never known, thrived peculiar little beings with peculiar dispositions. They scurried along the land of Bluffhaven, a hilly, rolling landscape with an abundance of steep, jagged cliffs that looks as if the other half of a hill just decided not to grow. Their burrows ranged from cave dens to treetops to cliffside. They hunted and gathered and reaped what they sowed. Bluffhaven was the home of the gnome who desired no other, except for one other, Eurissa Totterton, the first gnome to ever truly crave adventure, set sail from Bluffhaven in search of life beyond. From time to time, some short and some long, she returned with stories from the sea. With each story came a new curious character brought back home to Bluffhaven. She gathered her passengers and crew from all over, a dwarf, elf, halfling, and human. Through the centuries of Totterton voyages, many of her crew grew fond of and retired to Bluffhaven. They were welcomed there with tiny, open, gnomish arms. Bringing their families and culture and resources along with them, what started as a small village soon grew into a thriving, bustling city. Many claim the ventures and quests of Eurissa Totterton spanned 1,000 years. One day, Eurissa left on one of her outlandish journeys and sadly never returned. Nearly 200 years passed before her loyal followers gave up hope of her return. Her adventure had come to an end. The city, built of her people, would be named for their champion. Welcome, one and all, to Totterton. We open up with an alarm clock ringing on a bedside table. Next to the ringing alarm clock is a framed painting of a tall, blonde male elf crouching down next to a small, red-haired female gnome. We hear the deep groans of a man in pain. He sits up in bed, slowly and carefully opening his eyes. His name is...
Roderick Waddle.
Roderick is a stout 4'6" half-elf and half-gnome. On most days, Moppy's strawberry blonde hair would just barely cover the long and pointed ears of a happy-go-lucky fella. But on this day, something just seems amiss.
You, as you are waking up here today, you've got yourself back to full health. You are realizing that it is 10 a.m. on a Friday.
Oh.
And you know that every Friday, you collect all of the week's mail and bring it down to the harbor to be shipped out. You know that is a full day's journey. It takes you anywhere from 6 to 8 hours. It is twice your normal pay that you would typically get on your mail route. It pays a 10 silver pieces instead of your normal 5 because of its full day journey across Bluffhaven. You're running a little bit late. You're not feeling great this morning. Do you want to go to work? Or do you kind of want to call in sick and do your own thing?
Oh, if I call in again, my boss is going to kill me.
Yeah, your boss's name is Mr. Nagnir, and you know him as a very old, grumpy dwarf. He's your postmaster for the island of Bluffhaven.
With a name like that.
Can you say his name one more time?
Mr. Nagnir.
Nagnir. Grumpy dwarf.
You know him, his full name is Thoradin Nagnir, but you would never call him by his first name.
Yeah, because it's hard to pronounce.
Yeah, and it's very disrespectful as well.
Okay, well, Mr. Nagnir is going to kill me, so I'm going to try and rush to the post office.
Okay, great. As you rush out your front door after your hearty breakfast, you see that in the city of Totterton, outside of your front door, everybody is out and about. There's a lot of hustle and bustle going on. And as soon as you step out your front door, you notice that people are giving you a pretty strange look. Again, something just isn't right about this morning.
I cut my hand and breathe into it and try and get a good whiff of what my breath smells like.
Okay. You breathe into your cupped hand and you kind of pull it away and you you don't smell anything, outside of the usual morning breath. But you afterwards look into your hand and you see kind of a powder blue dust-like substance that has now coated your hand. It's got a slight glow to it as well.
How far away from my house did you say I got?
You've just stepped out your front door.
Can I look in the window and see my reflection?
Absolutely, yeah. You look in your window to look at your reflection, and you see that not only is your hand covered in this powdered blue substance, one side of your face is also covered in this. Your other fingertips on your other hand are also covered in this blue substance. And the hair on the left side of your head has kind of been singed off, and you just see the side of your scalp.
Can I get like a hoodie or some kind of cloak to mask my ghoulish appearance?
Sure, hoodie, cloak, what do you prefer?
I'll do a
what's
cloak.
Normal for Roderick? You got a cloak?
Yeah, I'm going to grab a cloak out of my closet.
Okay, so you go into your closet, you grab a cloak. It's actually your official postman cloak that you would use in the colder months.
Oh, my official postman cloak.
Yeah, you would use that in the colder months, even though it's perfectly temperate climate outside right now. You're going to bundle up in your postman cloak. Mm-hmm. And
so I'm all blue.
Not completely covered in blue, but it's like a powder-like substance.
I'm going to try and like shake off as much of the blue as I can.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so you're able to mostly kind of clear yourself of this powder blue dust-like substance. You're running slightly late, so in order to maybe get there on time, why don't you roll me a D20 with a DC of, you're hoping to get a 15 or higher in order to arrive on time for work.
Just raw D20?
Just a raw D20.
Ooh, I rolled a 6.
You rolled a 6? Yikes. Okay. So you are arriving about a half hour late for work. You're just going to Come in the front door, yeah?
Nope. I want to try and stealth through. Is there like a side door?
There's no side door, but there's a couple of different windows that you could try to sneak through if you wanted to.
Okay. I want to sneak through the newest window.
The nearest the window?
Least
okay.
Least squeaky.
Yeah, you know, there's really only two rooms to this post office here. It's pretty small. One window would lead into Mr. Nagnear's office,
well,
and then the
not
other
that one.
Sure, and the other one would open up just in kind of the main room there. So you're going to sneak into the mm-hmm. main room of the post office.
Can I try and have Akapu, my little lightning bug friend, buzz around Nagmir's office?
Sure, yeah. You're just trying to scope out and see where he's at. Mm,
just have him kind of like knock on the window.
You want him to? Okay,
like,
yeah.
Like fly into it a couple times.
Okay, yeah, sure. So you are going to give these orders to Akapu. Mm-hmm. He flies around to Mr. Nagnir's window and it is shut.
Can he light up on command?
Maybe like he does his routine when he normally tries to distract people, and he does his like truffle shuffle.
He bangs a couple of times into the window, and seemingly nothing happens.
I don't know that anything's not happening, so I'm gonna go ahead and sneak into the other side.
Great, give me a stealth check.
I basically sent Akapu away, waited a couple seconds, and now I'm sneaking in.
Okay. Stealth check.
18.
18? Okay, yeah. So you gently lift up the window and step inside very nimbly. You look around and there's nobody in sight. You do see across the room a bag full of mail that you are supposed to deliver for that day.
Okay, I want to run across the room as fast as I can, grab it, and try and get out before Mr. Nagmir can hear me or see me.
Okay, are you going back out the window or are you going out through the door?
I'm leaving the window open and diving through it.
You're diving through it? Give me a dexterity check.
Okay, so... just a check, just dexterity check.
Yeah, not a save, just a check.
14.
14. All right, you are able to successfully grab your sack of mail and dive out the window again, sight unseen by Mr. Nagnir. You nice. Are back on top, and you are ready to go about your mail route for the day.
I washed myself off.
So, just going about things as normal?
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. So, these streets of Totterton are a nice paved brick roads. Just off of the brick roads, though, everything is built on a lush green grass. Some people's houses are built of stone. Some are made of wood. Most of the government and community-type buildings are, you know, very ornately carved of stone. All right, so you are coming upon the house, your first stop of the day, of Mrs. Umbermore. You kind of dread visiting Mrs. Umbermore's house. It's kind of why you get it out of the way early each day, because Mrs. Umbermore owns a very vicious dog who just loves to terrorize your life.
What am I delivering to her?
You have a small brown package, you know, maybe like a 2x2 foot package. So decently sized. It's just a brown box. You don't know what's inside of it.
Oh, all right. I'm going to walk up to that door and knock on it. What was her name again?
Mrs. Umbermore.
I'm going to say, Mrs. Umbermore!
And you hear from within inside the house, Mrs. Umbermore's dog, Dominic, growl. I've been expecting you. And Mrs. Umbermore opens up the door to greet you.
Hello, Mrs. Zumbamore. Here's your package. And I'm gonna kind of just like shove it into her hands and try and walk away.
Wait, don't go too far. I've got something to send out today. I left it on the kitchen counter. Just give me a moment and I will go and fetch it.
Mrs. Umbermore walks into her kitchen, leaving the door protruding, and you hear Dominic growling louder and louder as he approaches you, and he comes dashing at you. Roll initiative, please.
15.
Dominic rolls a 12, so it is your turn to go first. What would you like to do?
First, I would like to try and shut the door.
You go to shut the door. I want you to make a strength saving throw in order to close the door before Dominic wrestling it open first.
I got a 19.
19? Yeah, you are able to close the door.
Ha ha, stupid Dominic. Bad dog.
Are you going to wait to get Mrs. Umbermore's package, or are you just going
to... Well, I went into work, so I better do my job. Hurry up, Mrs. Umbermore. Dominic is looking kind of hungry today.
You're back. Dominic, don't mess with Roderick today.
Mrs. Umbermore carefully like opens up the door and slips out a small, just a letter to hand to you.
I snatch it from her.
All right, great. You snatch it from her. You are off on your way.
One away.
Thank you, Roderick. I'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Great. So you are off on your way here, walking down the street. I want you to roll a dexterity save for me, please.
Uh-oh. I got a 17.
Ooh.
A 17?
17. Waterwick is killing it.
Yeah, you're rolling really well, and I'm sorry to say that nothing happened. No.
I don't even notice anything that...
No. You're just going about your route.
It
takes you a couple of hours to go through your route, but you know that, again, this is about a 6 to 8 hour journey down to the harbor to deliver... What you're doing is gathering everybody's mail from the week and bringing it down to the harbor so that it can be shipped out around Osai. So, are you just gathering everybody's mail and moving along your route as per usual?
That's my plan.
All right. So you go ahead and
do this hangover.
You pick up everybody's mail, and it's time to set off on your journey down to the harbor. You know, at about the halfway point is the what is called the sanctuary. It is a inn and tavern that caters itself to kind of downtrodden beings around Bluff Haven who kind of take up housing there. Some live there, some just stop on the way as a good, you know, midway point between Totterton and the harbor. It's a very happening place, but while as you are on your way to the sanctuary, you are passing through the farmland here. And you have a cornfield on one side of you, a wheat field on the other side of you, and to your right you hear in the cornfield some rustling happening. And I want you to make another dexterity saving throw.
Uh-oh. Ooh, 7.
A 7, and from out of the cornfield you see a cob of corn that comes flying through the air and smacks you on the head and does just 1 damage. And out of the corn, you see a rabid little goblin creature who snacks on some corn and then chucks a cob at you and then snacks him some more and chucks another one at you. Go ahead and enter initiative and roll that die.
I got a 10.
All right, and this goblin crit failed, so you were going to go first.
I am not feeling too great, so I kind of want to run away. Is that possible?
Yeah, you can just run away if you want.
I'm going to say, leave me alone. I'm just trying to do my job.
And as you say that, you look at the goblin as you're, over your shoulder as you're running away, and all of a sudden you just see him explode into a burst of flame.
I can I try and kind of look over there?
Yeah, do you want to stop running?
Yeah, I stop running away if I see him explode.
Okay, great. Yeah, you just walk up on him, and it is just a pile of ash. This goblin just burst into fire out of nowhere.
Can I look at the piece of corn he was eating?
Sure. Yeah, do an investigation check.
Ooh, 20.
It's just a piece of corn.
Ooh, I chuck it.
Yeah, gingerly kind of chuck it back into the field. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, this goblin just burst into flames.
Is there anything
why.
I can do to figure out what might have happened? Oh, boy.
Nope.
I'm going to slowly back away and just start running to the sanctuary.
You're going
to
start running? Okay.
Yeah, I'm really scared.
Okay. It's roughly 3 to 4 hours running, getting to the sanctuary. If you run, you can probably do it in 2.5 hours. You're going to run the entire way there?
I'm going to try.
Okay. You are going to suffer one level of exhaustion if you run the entire way there.
That's fine. I'm scared.
Okay, you suffer one level of exhaustion. You're going to have disadvantage on all your ability throws. And at the end of your nice jog across the farmland, you come upon the sanctuary.
Akapu left a little bag of coke and a gun. Just want to clear any confusion.
On the edge of the lush, fruitful forest resides a home for not just one family, but many put together. A place for the poor, the ill, the old, and the downtrodden. The shelter is built upon the edge of the woods. Its facade protrudes several feet from the tree line, and its landscaping vibrantly blooms to present a warm welcome to all who visit. The property is bordered by a simple white picket fence. A tightly packed dirt road winds its way through the meadow past the ungated fence to a bright blue door. In white calligraphy, the door reads, Swifttail Sanctuary. Come on in. You know that the sanctuary is run by Calvin and Olivia Swifttail, who are known as some of the most gifted foragers on the island. They gather food from all over, and their skills brought them such great wealth and popularity. But they had no need for that, so they decided to give it away instead. They opened Swifttail Sanctuary, a type of food kitchen and inn that they open up to everybody on the island and those who visit Bluffhaven from near and far. And they take everybody in of all kinds. Welcome to the sanctuary.
All right.
So you go on in, you open the door of Swifttail Sanctuary, and inside you just see a bustling abundance of people. They are sitting around tables, drinking, playing cards. You see a circle of various beings sitting in the corner. They're all got books open in front of them. You see servers going in and out of doors, bringing heaping mounds of food out to people. I want you to make a dexterity saving throw for me, please.
Five.
A bottle comes hurling at your head and crashes into your skull, causing you, once again, just one damage. Nice roll.
A bottle and corn.
Hey, close the door. It's nippy outside.
Close the door. And my stomach starts to gurgle.
You're a little hungry?
Mm-hmm. All I've had is yogurt.
All right, you sit down at the table, and coming up to you is a small, stout, little gnomish woman. You've met her before. You know her as Olivia Swifttail.
Hey, Olivia.
Hello, Roderick. It's good to see you again.
I brought all of your mail.
All of my mail? Oh, let's see what we have this morning.
Olivia opens up a few pieces of mail. She has just some from family from the inner city. And she also has a very small parcel. It's about the size of your hand, but it's a small little brown box wrapped in a brown paper. And she says,
I know what this is. I shouldn't open it in front of others. That's for me.
And she takes it in back, puts it down, comes back out.
What can I get for you today, Roderick?
Do you have any food for me?
Do we have any food? What a ridiculous question, Roderick. Anything for you, anything for you.
Whatever you're serving today. I do have some worries that I would like to discuss with you.
Yeah, what's going on, Roderick?
Well, first of all, I ran all the way here. I encountered a little goblin, and...
those little corn goblins, they're always causing a fuss.
Do they normally explode?
Explode? What do you mean explode?
I got hit in the head with a piece of corn, and... Then poof, he exploded.
What did you do to him?
I was running away. I swear.
That's mighty unusual.
I've never heard of a goblin. I went all the way here to tell you all about it.
Oh, well, thank you. I will keep an eye out for any exploding goblins that happen to make their way here.
You haven't heard anything like that?
No, this is the first I'm hearing of this, but I will tell all of my patrons to be careful on their way to Tottergen.
That's very unnerving. I'll take that food.
I'm sure it's fine.
Oh, and I guess, what's up with that little package you got there? That was,
What package?
The one I gave you that you took in the back there. Why didn't you have a package. Why can't you open it?
What package are you talking about? I just had some letters.
Why are you being so cryptic?
Am I being cryptic? Cryptic about what? I just bought some... You gave me some letters. I brought them in the back. I set them down, and now I'm back out here taking your order.
Why couldn't you open in front of me?
I don't know what you're talking about, Roderick. I suggest you just drop the subject altogether.
I feel like I'm going to explode.
Akapu gives a very quizzical look.
I don't know, Akapu.
Olivia Swifttail goes in the back. She brings you out a heaping plate full of food. It's got a nice goat loin that she brings out to you, covered in a delicious brown gravy. She's got some potatoes, mashed potatoes along with it. You scarf down your food. I'll say that this is enough of a rest to cure your level of exhaustion. You don't have to worry about that anymore, which is good. Never really came into play. And as you are finishing up your food, you feel kind of a rumbling coming from your stomach, a little bit air popping out, a burp comes out of your mouth, and a gust of wind comes along with it and blows the dishes and silverware and glasses off of the table and crashes against the wall in front of you, and everybody stops and turns their sights on you.
Sorry, Olivia.
Roderick, you come in here talking of exploding goblins. You accuse me of hiding mail from you, and now you are throwing my dishes against the wall. I know it's the end of the week, and it appears as if you need some rest, so I suggest you get on your way and out of my sights.
You're probably right. I should probably get to the harbor.
You make your way out of Swifttail's sanctuary. You are standing now at the top of a river. It's a little pool. At the top of this river, where crashing down is a waterfall. You're standing at the base of what you know as Meteorite Bluff.
Okay, I'm going to splash some water in my face.
Get together, Waterwick. Great.
Get your shit together.
In terms of the history of Meteorite Bluff, the lore of the island has it that a meteorite fell towards Bluff Haven, crashed into this bluff, and from that day forward, spewed out fresh water, the only source of fresh water, into this waterfall and down into this pool. And a gully has been carved out from this point down towards the harbor. And that is this water that supplies the harbor with its water, which is then connected to the Sea of Osai. And that is the pathway in which you must follow in order to get down to the harbor. It is about a 4-hour walk.
Oh, man.
Or it's a fairly
vigorous boat ride to get down there in half the time.
Are there any boats around?
There is a boat around, yes. It's going to cost you just 50 silver pieces in order to
50
take that boat.
Silver pieces? That's 20% of the amount of money I'm going to make today.
Yeah, well, it's...
Who's guarding this boat?
Who's guarding it?
Mm-hmm.
There is just one guard on this boat. He is the one who kind of controls the riptide here that goes up and down. It's kind of a dangerous ride. Dasher is in control of these boats. He has just two left, which is why it is a little bit more expensive than it typically would be on any given day. But that's the price to cut your time in half.
Well, I'm already running a little late. Can I try and sneak on the boat?
Do a stealth check.
20.
You are lucky that Dasher...
Do I know Dasher? I probably do. Yeah,
you know of Dasher. You probably had some minor conversation. He's got his back turned. He's eating his lunch for the day. You're sneaking onto a boat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm late. I gotta... I'm late and I spent all my money last night.
You sneak onto a boat, you untie it from the dock, and it goes shooting down the river at an extremely fast pace. It's going to take you 3 dexterity saves to make it successfully down to the harbor unscathed. So go ahead and roll your first one.
Crit fail.
Crit fail. You make it just a few feet before you get flung off the back of the boat, splashing into the water. And I want you to make a strength saving throw in order to grab hold of a rock to keep you from going down the river.
God.
Crit fail.
Crit failed twice in a row. Wow. Okay, you are shooting down this this gully, taking mouthfuls of water along the way. Make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, I have apparently that is a 7.
Is a 7?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a lot bigger than that. When you...
it's just better than I thought it was.
Not very impressive one way or the other.
7.
You are just taking in mouthfuls and mouthfuls of water. You are starting to fear for your own well-being. But 7 isn't so bad that you are going to die today.
Thank God.
After quite some time of going down some very vicious rapids, you come to a level part of the gully here. The rapids calm down. It's calm water. You can get out now and walk if you would like to.
Okay. I'm going to dust myself off and start hoofing it.
All right. You start hoofing it down to the harbor. In the harbor, there are obviously many docks. The side that you are on currently is Harbor Inn. It is essentially where the sailors and passengers on boats who come into Bluff Haven for just a brief period of time spend the night while they are here. And on the other side of the gully across the bridge is Simon's Seaside Saloon, a drinking and food establishment where people will kind of have their fun for the evening.
I turn to Akapu and I say, well, the hell of the dog.
Akapu just shakes his head.
When you go into Simon's Seaside Saloon, it is a dilapidated building. But inside has got a ruckus crowd of all people of every shape and size. This is kind of a unique bar in that the bar itself has two levels to it. It's kind of a taller bar that serves like humans and elves that are taller, and a kind of dips down for a shorter bar that serves, halflings, gnomes, and the sort.
I look at one bar, and then I look at the other bar, and I can't really make up my mind. Is that, are there,
little too tall for one bar, a little too short for the other bar.
Are there any... Which bar has less people?
The shorter bar has less people.
I'm going to walk up to the shorter bar, and I'm just going to stand behind someone and just wave a silver piece above their head.
Great. Yoo-hoo. As you are waving your silver piece above the head, above somebody's head, you get the attention of one of the bartenders that is behind the bar. His name is Merrick Hollowpot, a little tiny gnomish creature. He's got a red hat that kind of hangs drooping off the side of his head. He says, "What will you have?"
"Your strongest ale, please."
"You got it. One strong ale coming up."
I hands you a drink.
And I throw it back.
Like a champ.
Yeah.
He throws it down.
Slam it down on the bar.
After you slam down this drink, you kind of take in, you know, the saloon around you. And across the room, sitting next to a window, you see a old gnomish man with gray hair, a long gray beard. He's got a pipe in his mouth, and he sits in a rocking chair, just kind of slowly rocking back and forth, and he's staring out the window that looks towards the harbor.
I want to walk up to him. Okay. I'm going to actually first, I'm going to say, two of your most moderate ales. Your strongest.
That'll be two more silver pieces, please.
Oh, well, never mind. Let me get the strongest ones.
I hand you the strongest beer that they've got. Every beer costs the same here at Simon C. Science Saloon.
Oh, it was like a happy hour all day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just to each their own, you know. You got people of every size. Like, you got a
classic like cheesy.
It wouldn't be it wouldn't be right. Fair to, you know, charge the larger folk the same price for a stronger beer or for a weaker beer if it's not going to have the same effect, you know.
How progressive.
Yeah. Socialist society we've got running here.
I'd like to walk up to that interesting man and say, "Did you bring your own walking chair?"
He rocks back and forth. He takes a puff of his pipe and says nothing to you. He doesn't break his concentration from looking out the window.
"Did you bring your own walking chair?" As if he didn't hear my joke.
This guy's so fucking obnoxious.
Roll a persuasion check.
16.
He takes the mug of beer from you. He chugs it down. He throws it across the room and crashes and breaks.
Wow.
Still not breaking concentration from looking out the harbor.
I want to check out what he's looking at.
You look out to the harbor. You see that it is near sunset. And at the far end of the harbor, you see two cliff sides that create just a small gap in between them for ships to travel from the harbor out to sea. And coming in from the sea into the harbor, you see a small little jolly boat with a black sail and an emblem, an ornate emblem of the sun. And that is where we will end our session.
Ooh, spooky.
Thank you all for joining our party today. To learn more about us, our story, and the world we are building, please visit us at heystupidgp.com. We'd like to give a special shout out to Caroline Walker for all the wonderful character art populating our page. You can use the same tag, HeyStupidGP, to share your thoughts with us on Reddit and Twitter, or email us directly at gmail.com. Until next time, party people, I am Kyle McCleavy with my friends and heroes, Carlos Olmedo and Jason Snyder. Thanks for listening.